What's cracking? I am Jim Rome. How was your weekend? Hope your week's off to a good start. Nice to have you here on this Monday. Welcome to the jungle. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, what do you want to hit on? Lots of good things to get to, starting with your telephone number. I've got my first interview at 40 past, so if you're one of those people that does not want to wait, but you want to get through earlier, go ahead, start dialing right now, 1-800-636-8686. Open phones to start the program. You have that number. Adam Hawk is going to pick up the phone. He's going to ask you what you want to talk about. Make sure you have an answer for him. An answer would not include, "Hey, Hawk, idiot, put me through. I'm going to wing it when I get on the air." Rome wants to hear from me. You got to have a better answer, a better plan, a better strategy. He's going to ask you what you want to talk about. Make sure you're ready. You have your phone number. If you don't care about that process, you don't need to hear your voice on the radio, you don't want your own show, hit me up on Twitter. It's easy. Thumb it out at Jim Rome. Or go ahead and shoot me an email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up at 40 past, Charles Robinson, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. We will get his thoughts on Colin Kaepernick's workout. What happened? Why it was moved? Where that leaves him? Did he gain any ground? Did it help? Did it hurt? We'll get the latest there. Coming up in hour number two, Appalachian State Mountaineers head football coach Eli Drinkwitz. In hour number three, a senior NBA writer for Bleacher Report, Howard Beck. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so a lot of different places where I could start after everything that went down yesterday in the NFL. I mean, we could talk PI, we could talk Dak, we could talk comebacks, but when you have a chance to start off the week with one of the nastiest offensive linemen in the league lining up at fullback, getting a carry, and then breaking out a cake stand celebration, then you've got to do that, right? Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Quentin Nelson. And I give you one of the greatest moments in NFL history, if not the history of all of sport.
A third and goal with Quentin Nelson at fullback. Nelson trying to get in. No signal yet.
Looking, gathering the rest of the linemen so they can do their thing.
Is this really a thing? I'm a little concerned right now.
The ball was short of the line to gain. It'll be fourth down and goal. Thank you.
By the way, I know nothing about this, but I'm being told this was a keg stand celebration.
It's been a long time since I've been in the dormitory, so I'm not sure about what that was either.
Oh, no, I know exactly what that was. And that's exactly what you were told. The Colts executed a keg stand after the TD. And not just any keg stand, but a keg stand involving a 6'5", 330-pound monster in Quentin Nelson. Did it really happen? Because if it did, that is just too good to be true. And of course, when something seems too good to be true, it generally is. And you can put that right near the top of your list because, as you heard, that TD was overturned on review. And I can't lie, that upsets the hell out of me. But not as much as it upsets Nelson's QB, Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, man, I almost cried because that celebration was pretty cool. I hope that still can be like nominated as one of the best celebrations because I don't know how they picked him up.
Yeah, I don't know how they picked him up either. In fact, I don't know how any of that happened. The laws of physics were turned upside down with that celebration. But I do know this. You can take away the TD, but you cannot take away that celebration. Nelson had worked his entire life for that very moment. The hell do you do? How the hell do you rip that from him? Hey, better yet, I don't want to make it about me, but I worked my entire life for that moment. How the hell are you going to rip that from me? And as long as we're talking about replay review, may as well get this one out of the way, right? Texans, Ravens. First quarter, 0-0 game. The Texans go for it on 4th and 2. Ravens DB. Marlon Humphrey goes for it on DeAndre Hopkins.
Watson getting out of the pocket. Looks downfield. Uncorks a deep one. Incomplete. DeAndre Hopkins wants a flag.
He should get one because Humphrey grabbed him just as the ball was coming.
After review, the ruling on the field stands.
Well, there's contact with the jersey. That's pass interference to begin with. And then the bump there, the grab here, then comes the ball. Check.
Penalty. Alanda? Man, you knew exactly how that was going to play out before it actually played out. You knew how that would go. Houston would challenge the no call for pass interference, which is what they should do if the PI review is really a thing. And then New York would say, there is no PI, which is what they almost always say, even though the PI review is actually a thing. You see, plays like that and reviews like that are making an absolute mockery of the game. I mean, it's inexplicable, it's infuriating, it's embarrassing, the optics are terrible. We all saw it. It was clear as day. Hopkins tweeted after the game, quote, as a leader in the NFL, we need someone new in New York deciding calls, end quote. Listen, I could spend an entire day talking about PI calls that were and were not made, but I won't because there are other embarrassments and disgraces that we need to get to. But know this, that was PI. It should have been called. The fact that it wasn't is embarrassing, regardless of the final score. I'm not saying that the Texans would have won that game if the officials and the replay crew did not butcher that. But it was egregious and further evidence that instead of improving the situation, the PI review rule has only made it so much worse. But then again, I do not want to get hung up on that when there's so many other things I do need to get to, such as the Redskins. Washington lost again. Actually, they didn't lose again. They got hammered by the Jets, 34-17 at home. I didn't think that there was a college team the Jets could beat 34-17, much less an NFL team. Then again, calling the Redskins an NFL team is pretty generous. I'll grant you that. I mean, it is one thing to lose. It is another to get doubled up by the Jets. The Jets. They gave up 34 to the worst offense in the NFL. But at least attendance continues to fall, and there was nobody there to see it. The few fans who were there were chanting, sell the team, at Dan Snyder. But there is good news. The team finally broke its streak of 16 quarters without a TD. So that's awesome. Then again, Washington being garbage is not exactly news.
Garbage!
And it's not exactly news that Colin Kaepernick proved that he could play in the NFL. And the fact that he isn't in the league, and that's a joke, and it's got nothing to do with football. None of that was ever in doubt. Or the fact that Dak Prescott and his salary demands probably went up yet again after he threw for 444 yards and 3 touchdowns yesterday. Or the fact that the Patriots are still misfiring offensively. Their offensive line is still shaky, they still are not that good in the red zone, and they had to resort to trickery. Yet despite all that, they found a way to beat back the Eagles. It's also not news that Lamar Jackson is terrorizing teams still. But he and the Ravens will get their own take. Same with Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. They get their own take, but for very different reasons. And there are two more topics that I want to touch on in this rundown. The 49ers and the Vikings. Here's a test. Can you talk about either one of those comebacks without talking about the most obvious thing from both games? In the case of the 49ers, they came back from down 16-0 in the second quarter. They were down 26-23 with less than a minute to go, and they end up winning by 10? 36-26. A gutting loss for Arizona. And a really impressive win for the 49ers, especially when you consider they were missing George Kittle and Matt Breida. And that Jimmy G still threw for more than 400 yards, and all four of his TDs went to undrafted players, including the game winner with 31 seconds left.
Garoppolo in the shotgun. Jeff Zero. Wilson Jr.'s in. He runs inside. He's got a 10-5 touchdown!
Baby! Wow! 49ers Radio. There's your game winner. That's your game winner, but here comes the ultimate soul snatcher. for some of you folks. Check it out.
He throws to Larry Fitzgerald running out right, and he'll throw it backwards. The ball hits the ground. The ball's on the field. The 49ers will dive on it. It's going to be
going
backwards. They pummeled it back. They have a touchdown here. DJ Reed will pick it up and take it in the end zone for a touchdown. Touchdown, SF. What did Arizona do there?
It's so amazing. That made it 36-26. And yes, the line for the game was San Francisco by 10 in some spots, but 9.5 in others. Now, I used to be in this spot. I would jump right in here and say, hey, nobody is interested in how bad that beat was for you or how great it was for somebody else. Seriously, you may as well be telling people about your fantasy team or that dream you had last night because nobody gives a damn. Don't bring that around here. We'd rather hear about your pets. We'd rather hear about what you had for dinner. I'd rather you show me pictures of your vacation or who you have in your March Madness bracket for 2020 or who you had in your March Madness bracket for 2018. Back in the day, I would have said that. Back in the day, you know, like, I don't know, maybe a year ago, I would have said that. But I'm not saying it right now. Because the fact that that was an unbelievable end to a game, it was. And if you got down either way, I know that hit you a certain way. Anybody else who didn't get down, that game was already over. And then it was just kind of comedy. But for the rest of the people in the room, that was anything but comedy. That was either the worst beat ever and or the best cover. And Vegas got its clock clean over that. So hell yes, I will acknowledge that. Not only will I acknowledge that, I might even take a phone call or two on that because that was wild. And if you were anywhere near Twitter when that happened, you could practically hear the screams and the groans when that went down. That was wild. And I'm not saying that I went anywhere near that game or that I ever do. Let's just say that was wild. And then you've got the Minnesota Vikings. They made San Francisco's comeback look like child's play because they were down 20-0 at halftime to Denver. They weren't just losing. They looked like they started their bye a few hours earlier. They were making the Broncos look good. Then they came out in the second half, and Kirk Cousins was on fire. Before I start rolling the highlights, here is the ultimate test. Can you talk about this game without referencing a certain clip from Kirk Cousins from a few years back? Is it even possible? Given what this guy did in the second half yesterday, I'm not sure it is. Try and see and hear this without thinking about that other clip.
Cousins, second and goal, takes the snap, fires to the end zone, caught! Touchdown! Irv Smith Jr.'s first National Football League touchdown gives the Vikings some life.
Cousins to Irv Smith. To get them on the board, 20-7. They gave up a field goal to make it 23-7. Then Dalvin Cook finds the back of the end zone.
Second and goal from the two. Hand off Dalvin. Looks to get the right edge. 5-4-3-2. Touchdown! Dalvin Cook!
Dalvin Cook! Then Cousins to Stephon Diggs with a dime. That made it 23-20.
Cousins boots out to the left, passes to Diggs, caught, 15, 5, touchdown! A 54-yard touchdown to Stephon Diggs.
And then Cousins to Kyle Rudolph. That made it 27-23, just over 6 minutes to go. Roll it.
Bootlegs out to the left, looking to the left, firing, caught!
And then finally, they needed their defense to make a stand. And they did it. And it closed out the game.
This is for all the money. Allen, shotgun, snap. It's going to fade right.
That's a push off.
And the Minnesota Vikings have beaten the Denver Broncos. As the Vikings flood the field, they head into the bye with positivity. They come all the way back.
Vikings radio, Paul Allen on the call. Sounding good, Paulie. That was impressive. Really impressive. From down 20-0 to winning at 27-23, and I don't care who they came back on. And as bad as they were when they fell behind, they were that good when they came back. And that's just another dagger for Denver. To quote former Broncos wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, they're still, quote, living in a world of suck.
Living in a world of suck.
And speaking of a world of suck, I'm about to get to Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. But again, when your world sucks as much as Mitch and the Bears does, you do get your own take. And they will, because if anybody is living in a world of suck, it's Mitch and the Bears.
Living in a world of suck.
The Bears and Mitch. 1-800-636-8686. That's only part of the NFL rundown. I want to isolate a couple of other games and things, and I will do so a little bit later on. We'll talk about Colin Kaepernick's workout with Charles Robinson at 40 past. Hit me up. Alvy, let's break. Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love money? Then you better get with the program and get on down to Hooters. Catch that game and play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are just a few questions away from a chance in making money. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. And it's easy to play. It works just like making prop picks. So who's going to win? It might be you. It could not be any easier, and it is free to play. And you love wings, and you love ice cold beer, and who doesn't love the world-famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix on. Now, get in on the action. If you've got game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games. Eat, drink, play for all the dough. With Hooters, Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyBall.com. Register right now. Then go to Hooters for every game all season long. HootersMoneyBall.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You're in a 4-minute break.
Every Monday, we ask the pros. You do. You get to ask me a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Listen later on. I might answer one of your questions. And in the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, some quick reaction. I like it. We're out quickly. Your clones are locked in. At Squirrel 2 tweets, I used to do actual keg stands after all my TDs when I was in the league. Yours, Chlorophyll McNabb.
Chlorophyll.
Again, Adam Hawk, I'm going to ask you the question. You used to work with this guy. Why do you do this guy like this? You know why, Hawk? Because I got a concern. If and when the time comes and I fire you, a very likely occurrence, are you then going to go to work for another host and bring a bunch of texts, or I should say tweets and emails, killing me? I can't help but think that, Hawk. If you're killing a guy that you used to work with, what is to stop you from doing the same when I fire you? Signed, Chlorophyll McNabb.
Chlorophyll.
Hawk's like, I don't dictate that content. I don't create that content. I just bring it in. Right. But you're supposed to have my back. Like you're supposed to have his back. I mean, do you do searches for chlorophyll? Do you find that, or are you looking for it actively? 1-800-636-8686. Sincerely, Chlorophyll McNabb. At Back After This tweets, Jim, your repeated criticism of our team is highly unfair. The culture here is actually damn good. Signed, Bruce Allen.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
You know, actually, your old man is rolling in his damn grave hearing that. Come on, man. The culture here is actually damn good.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
You know, I'm not there. And I think that I could say, unequivocally, the culture is actually damn bad. Like some of the worst culture I've ever seen. As an example, Your fans who do show up now show up and chant, sell the team. Your aforementioned best player would not play for you under any circumstance because the culture is so bad and he doesn't trust the organization. So no, Bruce, the culture is not actually damn good. It's pretty damn horrible. Dear Jaime, after the biggest jam job in the history of sports happened to the Saints last season, I don't watch the NFL any longer, and I'm better for it. Nothing has changed other than it's getting worse. We are getting close to professional wrestling type stuff here. Stephen S.A., it's not that bad. It's not that bad, but that part of it is really bad. It's a lot of really good things about the NFL right now. On some level, I would say it's as entertaining as it's ever been. And then on some level, especially when it comes to PI review, it's as bad as it's been. That did not make it better. They had to do something after that jam job, and they did, but that something made it worse. It didn't make it better, and it made it worse. I agree with that. It's not pro wrestling, but that part of it is definitely much worse. Dear Mitch Trubisky, we would like to thank you for helping distract NFL fans from how awful we were as NFL QBs. Sincerely, Jawalrus Ruffles and Crying Leaf.
Don't talk to me, all right?
That's why I could not cover that in the rundown. It gets his own take. Like, why was that guy ripped out of the game in the most critical moment? And not only of that game, but of the entire season. Their season was hanging in the balance, and they ripped this guy out of the game, their alleged franchise quarterback. And then everybody starts to freak out like, see, wow. And then you find out that they didn't bench him. He was, quote, injured. All right.
Bench the salt.
Bench the franchise QB. That's fine. If he was injured, why did he not go into the blue tent? If he was injured, why weren't there any trainers checking him out? Did he self-diagnose that injury? Did he know? Now, the whole thing's kind of, as the kids like to say, sketchy. Sketch. And then there's this. Jumpman. I don't want to talk Tua or NFL. I want to talk Monmouth basketball. What segment will you be interviewing the dude that threw down that dunk and then talk junk about it? Technical foul? Give this guy some bleeping credit. For real. Dude is a freaking legend.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
Brendan in the Natty. You know, Brendan, I'd crack back on you for saying that you're just trying to run some misdirection to get me to look away from the Bengals. But you're right. That guy is a legend. That was an unbelievable moment. Down 55. The victor was dribbling out the clock. Everybody's going to sit there and wait. You know, 5, 4, not homeboy. Homeboy sneaks up behind him, rips him, picks his pocket, goes back and throws one down and lets everybody hear it to cut the lead to 53. It was awesome. Does anybody know the spread on that game? Was that some bad beat? I'd love to know. I do know the spread on the other game we were talking about, though. It was 10, and some got 9.5. 10 was an unbelievable push. 9.5 was an unbelievable win for some people. When we come back, I know it's a topic that infuriates a lot of you, so I'm not going to spend the entire interview on it, but we will get into it. Colin Kaepernick had his workout, moved his workout, and we'll talk about what happened. Charles Robinson joins us when we return. Before I do that, though, I'm
for you. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Spending the entire first hour talking about the NFL weekend and looking ahead as well. If you're in the rotation and you're on hold, hang in there. I'll get your phone calls in. If not, I've got one phone line open, 1-800-636-8686. We are joined right now by a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. We consider him a very good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Charles, what's up? How are you?
What's going on, Jim? How you doing this morning?
Good, man. Great. Great to have you back. Thanks so much. Number of places to start, a number of topics I want to get to, but let me start where I started the program with Quentin Nelson's keg stand TD celebration. Man, how big of a roller coaster ride was that? The joy of the big fella breaking out the celebration and then the heartbreak of that TD being ripped away. What was that like for you?
It doesn't matter. The celebration overshadowed a fat man TD any day of the week. That it's a celebration that will live on in infamy. I'm sure every Notre Dame alum has to be smiling with pride right now. Greatest single celebration of any I've ever seen. And I don't know why more skill position players don't say to offensive linemen, you know what, I'm probably going to score my 14th touchdown this season. I'm going to give you the ball because you guys do it better than anybody else.
It's a great point. Charles Robinson joining us. I'm glad you said that. It doesn't matter whether or not the touchdown counted. You cannot take that celebration from the big fella. All right, Senator, you and your colleague Jay Busby have got a piece up on Yahoo about Colin Kaepernick's workout on Saturday. Before we get into that, take me back a little bit earlier. When you first heard from the league that there might be breaking news coming, what was your thought? And then last week when you heard it would involve Kaepernick, what did you think it was?
Well, that's the interesting thing is you're starting to see the league, you know, they've made some changes in their communications department, and I think they're leaning into controlling the narrative of stories that they feel like they don't want to get away from them. And they did this with the Jay-Z setup. When they cut the deal with Jay-Z, the business partnership, that rollout was, hey, there's this thing that's going to happen in New York. You might want to be there. We can't say what it is. You know, it was shrouded in mystery. And then with the Kaepernick situation, it was the same thing. You know, they reached out to select media members and they said, hey, there's something going on next Tuesday. Just be prepared. There could be some big news. Set some time aside. But they weren't going to tell anyone what it was. And then Tuesday rolls around and lo and behold, they call Colin Kaepernick's representatives for the first time in over a year. And they say, hey, we want to put on a workout for Colin Kaepernick, sort of a pro day workout, and invite all the teams. And we want to do it on Saturday. And not only were Colin Kaepernick's representatives and Colin Kaepernick himself stunned by this, when I started to call around the NFL teams, they were like, what? Like, we don't know what this is. We don't know where this came from. We have no idea who we're going to send, if we're going to send anyone. It was just like this materialized out of thin air. And for the better part of a week, we've been sitting there going, why? And no one's been able to answer that question. Teams haven't. The league hasn't. Even Kaepernick's camp is like, you know, we aren't sure why they're going to do this. But then when it finally happened on Saturday and this whole thing melted down and the league had tried to get Colin Kaepernick to sign this waiver, I think that's what we ultimately figured out, that this entire workout itself was essentially a Trojan horse by the league to try and accomplish one thing, and that was to get Colin Kaepernick to sign a waiver that had two clauses in it, a long workout waiver that had two clauses that basically said, you know what, in the future, you are essentially agreeing that you're not going to sue us for anything that's employment related, either directly or indirectly related to this workout. To me, that's what this all was. This was a big Trojan horse built around one thing happening, getting Colin Kaepernick to sign a waiver that he would never, ever go after the league again for not being in the NFL.
Charles Robinson joining us. All right, so what's your sense then? That they weren't going to see that, or that if he wanted back in badly enough, he would just sign that and waive that?
It could be either of those, really. I mean, let me put it to you this way. When I saw the waiver, I got a copy of the waiver myself, and I started to read through it, and I'm like, first off, this thing is insanely long. Like, this isn't a normal liability waiver that, hey, we indemnify everybody just in case Colin Kaepernick gets injured or any of these receivers, the people running it, you know, the Falcons, the league, yada, yada, yada. I mean, this thing was literally, I think it was like a good 2 pages long, you know, fine print, multiple clauses in it. And what I thought was interesting was when Kaepernick said no, and then their camp basically came out and said, look, there's this crazy waiver they're trying to get us to sign. This is ridiculous. This thing's insanely long. We just sent them a basic liability waiver saying, hey, we're waiving, you know, the rights to go after anybody if he gets injured. You know, the league came out and said, hey, no, this is something based upon what prospects sign when they go into the combine. Well, what's interesting about that is agents don't ever see that waiver that players sign to take part in the NFL's combine. So you have no idea if it truly is something that's similar to it. But what I thought what was interesting is they used the phrase, the league did, when they defended this waiver. They did not say it was the combine waiver. They didn't say it was the same thing. They said it was, quote unquote, based on the combine waiver. I think what we're going to find out is the league put a lot of time and effort into how this entire waiver was worded. And I think they did that for a very specific reason. They tried to sneak it in. I think I do not put it past the league to try to sneak this in and make sure that if he was going to sign anything, it was going to protect the league in the long run. I think that's the one thing that came out of this where you're like, why would they have done this? What is the upside here? This was clearly upside in terms of potential future litigation.
Charles Robinson is joining us. All right, so is that in and of itself the reason the location of the workout was moved, or was there something else that went into that decision?
I think that was actually a number of things. I mean, the waiver to me was it. That was it. That was sort of the coup de grace. Like, I think they wouldn't hand over this list of teams that were attending. Now, they said, hey, there were 25 teams in attendance. No one even knows if that's true because no one saw these team attendees other than the attendees who moved over to the high school on the south side of Atlanta, which I think it ultimately came out to be 8 teams. The NFL said, hey, we had 25 teams there. Well, that's the NFL saying that. We don't have a list of names. I don't have 25 teams confirming this. No one was in the facility at that point to actually count 25 individuals who were on hand. So that's the NFL saying 25 teams showed up to this. The lack of transparency in terms of the attendees was one. The fact that the NFL said, we want to control the video, you know, we want to be the choke point for the video. We'll eventually give you the video, but we want to be in control of it initially. Kaepernick's camp was not okay with that. They said, look, we're not going to trust you to have the video. We'd rather disperse the video if teams want it. That's, we can disperse raw footage. We'll have a crew here to videotape it as well. The NFL said no. And then when Kaepernick's camp said, okay, fine, then open it to the media. At least let someone else in to view this so it's not this private affair where you get to control the words that come out on this thing. Let someone else see it. The NFL said no again. And I think at that point they were just like, forget it. And then I think the league stepped in it a little bit when they put out their release and suggested that part of the footage that would have been filmed by Kaepernick's crew would have been used by Nike at a later date. Nike came out and straight up said that's just not true. Like, that's not true. We didn't ask to shoot any of this for a commercial, nothing of the sort. And then Nike kind of went after the NFL behind the scenes saying, hey, you need to clear this up. Now, that never happened, but now it's obviously come out that when the NFL put out this idea that, oh, part of this was, you know, potentially a commercial for Nike or to be used in a commercial for Nike, it just wasn't factual.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. Last thought on that. So how did the actual workout go, and do you think that he's going to get a serious look from any NFL team as a result of that workout?
I don't think he's going to get a serious look. I think they knew going into this that the way this entire thing was engineered, I think they knew this was a dog and pony show, and ultimately it was something that was built around trying to get legal cover by the use of this waiver, you know, long-term legal cover. And no, I mean, I think he showed in his workout, you know, look, it was all about the arm strength. It was about, you know, his physique. You know, this was a guy who, when he played his last snap for the San Francisco 49ers, I think he was 20 to 25 pounds lighter than he is right now. Where he is physically now is more along the lines of when they made the Super Bowl. His weight, his strength, his overall physique is definitely back to the, you know, his peak playing days. And then I think he wanted to display his arm strength, which you talk to anyone, they said, look, Colin Kaepernick, when he's in the best shape, he has an elite level arm. He did that. Now, did it display his overall fitness? No. Was it the most crisp, you know, fast paced workout that maybe you see in some of these elite level prospects when you go to colleges? No. But I think the basic traits of, look, does he have the talent to have an individual team bring him in and consider him for a quarterback position? Yeah, I think he displayed that. But I don't sense any optimism whatsoever from any of the teams I've talked to or from Colin Kaepernick's camp that this is really going to result in a job.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports breaking that down. I appreciate that. Listen, before you go, what do you make of what you saw last night from the Bears? They're down by 10. Chase Daniel takes the field late in the game, and the team will have you believe, and Mitch Trubisky as well, that I got a hip issue. It's a hip injury. Do you think that's what that was, or how much of that was about their offensive issues?
I think the hip issue is that it's attached to Mitch Trubisky, and he's not playing well for the Chicago Bears.
Got it.
in as much as it's an injury, however they want to sugarcoat it and whatever excuses they want to make for why he may not have been on the field late last night, the bottom line is Mitch Trubisky has not progressed this season. This was supposed to be his big step forward. That has not taken place at all, taken place in the fashion they hoped at all. And when you talk to opposing pro personnel directors, they tell you, look, we scout them. We advance scout the Bears. Whenever they try to make Mitch Trubisky a pocket quarterback, it is not working. That is not playing to his strengths. This is not unfolding the way that they expected. And you will never, ever, ever get away from this. And the Bears are ruining this reality. Deshaun Watson was taken after him. Pat Mahomes was taken after him. And you moved up to select Mitch Trubisky. You outbid nobody for the right to select him second overall. It's an unmitigated disaster for Chicago, and I guarantee you this offseason will be geared toward bringing in a strong veteran who either can challenge him for the starting job or will be the plan B to keep everybody from getting fired if this repeats itself next season.
One last topic. When you look at what the Ravens have done to the Seahawks, the Patriots, and now the Texans, what kind of thoughts do you have?
I how do you stop them? Like, figure it out. I think once they beat the brakes off the Patriots, I think you sat there and you said, okay, well, this is clearly the team that no one wants to run into in the playoffs. They're going to have a problem solving this team. Lamar Jackson's accuracy is far better from the pocket. I think as long as he maintains his mobility, because a lot of his game flows out of his ability to be faster than everyone, to move, to create, as long as he doesn't get injured and you know, isn't limited in that way, he's going to continue to give teams fits. But I will say this about the Patriots. When the Patriots lost in the regular season last year to Kansas City, Bill Belichick held back a certain margin of what he was doing, knowing I'm probably going to see this team in the playoffs, if not in the AFC Championship game. I'm going to figure out exactly how to resolve my issues with this team on a one-game basis. I guarantee you that's what the Patriots were doing against the Baltimore Ravens. They didn't show their full envelope of everything they had prepared. I think they're ready to see the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC title game, and I think that's going to happen.
Charles Robinson is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He is a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, good friend of the program. Really quickly then, do you think Jackson is getting the level of respect that he deserves? As good as he is right now, and people are paying attention, is he still getting the level of respect that warrants it?
I don't, because he goes through the first quarter on Sunday. I think he started 1-for-6, and immediately it brought out the chorus of, oh, Lamar Jackson's still not accurate. You know, oh, it's still the same accuracy issues. The guy came into the game completing like 66% of his passes, okay? And then after the 1-for-6 start, he went 16-for-18. Maybe he's good enough now that we can go ahead and give him the opportunity to have a slow start and work it out. You know, you don't have all these other quarterbacks who are given that respect as, you know, just pure passers. If they go for a, you know, 2-for-8 stretch or a 3-for-10 stretch, we're not all of a sudden saying, oh, geez, what the heck? He accept what it is. He's taken a big jump forward in terms of his ability as a passer this year. Let him work the kinks out like he did on a Sunday and accept that, hey, you know what? He's 22 years old. 22! He's going to only get better at this stage as long as injury doesn't slow him down. And I think as a passer, he's already shown a big leap over last season. That's the area of respect that I think people are too quick to jump on him for inaccuracy on a quarter-by-quarter basis rather than saying he's at the level now. Let him go a couple of games and work the problems out if he runs into him.
Right. Meanwhile, everybody who plays with him and plays against him is pretty much in awe of what this guy's doing now on a weekly basis. He's a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. He's a co-host of the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast and broke it all down. Charles, thank you so much. Great job, man.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure, Jim. Take care.
Good talking to you. Appreciate your time. Always appreciate making time for us and this program, Charles Robinson. All right, so obviously you've dug in on Colin Kaepernick. Like, you've got your thought, you've got your take. You're not coming off that. I get that. I'm not here to change your mind. That was very interesting, though, what he's alleging. That when you ask the question, why would the league do this now? And why would the league inform certain members of the media but not Kaepernick? Or certain members of the media before Kaepernick? What does the league get out of this? Were they trying to get him to consent to not suing them? Would they go to all that trouble for that? Would you put it by the league? What are your thoughts and what's your reaction? We'll come back. Hour number two, setting up next. 1-800-636-8686.